We have a wonderful recording system. It's kind of a little bit like AI. It thinks for itself. Sometimes it works, sometimes it's doing something else than what we expect. So, with that, I'm Commissioner Brad Holton. I'll call the meeting to order. Present is Commissioner Ann Beek, and en route somewhere is Commissioner Brooks. And we have a 1:30 agenda item, and it's to receive Cannon County Board of Community Guardian 2024 annual report. And I look through that, and that's really well done. Concise and very, very well done. Good job. So we're here to receive that, and any narrative that you'd care to give along in addition to that, and then that report will become part of the public record. So welcome.
Thank you, commissioners. I do have paper copies if anybody wants to have one of those.
Thank you.
And personally, I do not have anything prepared to say other than we do have three of the board members here today to answer questions or provide comment as to their experiences serving on the board. We certainly appreciate our volunteers. Wouldn't be able to do it without them. And so with that, I turn it over to them if they would like to make any comment.
Sure.
Well, my name's Jane Josephson. I want to confirm you didn't have any further questions about the report or anything specifically?
I didn't have any come to mind.
And Chairman, I read the report and I really appreciate what you do for the community. It's a selfless job that you have to give back like that. It's a state mandated service to provide guardianship, but these people have been deemed by the courts to not be able to care for themselves. So that means you're doing a lot of things that are really self-sacrificing in their interest. Tough to maintain volunteers for that, but really thank you for what you're doing. They need help, and what I understood to be true is that you can't always provide enough guardians for the people that really need those services. So you've had members serving for a number of years in the guardianship program. You've had people pass away out of the guardianship program. And so this is I don't know which commissioner or senator suggested it, but it is now in Idaho state law. And so since this board has come into office, we've worked with Yvonne and the clerk's office to try and get this to where it should be with the finances and the volunteer service, and to hopefully bring more attention. I know there's people with very altruistic hearts out there. We've got Aaron Williams, Director of Public Information here, who maybe can plug that to get the volunteers or other people that are interested in giving back to give at the level that you're doing. But I would be interested in having you put on the record what it is you do and how much time it takes and why you want to do that, what you find fulfilling. I mean, help us understand from your perspective why you're giving back to the community the way that you are, because it takes a lot. And our own county employees, it's my understanding that in looking at that report, you're also managing some of those cases.
Yes.
And Kelly takes the award for most cases.
Yes, yeah, Kelly.
Do you want to share why first?
I think we've spoke of it before, but in my capacity as a deputy with the Cannon County Sheriff's Office, I had the occasion to run into several vulnerable adults in different stages of need. Mm-hmm. And just that process of, finding some vulnerable adults and seeing what options are out there or not out there and trying to get them through to a safer situation, I realized the need for volunteer guardians. So that's why I joined the board. I do feel that without the three coordinators, this board would not function. And I do feel that this board is failing in a way, and that we are just the attrition rate, people, you know, not having the time or not wanting to make the commitment. I think we are, our numbers are down as far as volunteers go, and it's a little disheartening because I'm not sure how to fix it. But, you know, the couple of us that come, we do the best that we can.
Yeah.
So it involves a lot. I mean, you have people's lives depending on you, and you have to, you know, you have to meet with them. You have to field phone calls from their healthcare providers. You have to talk to their the facilities that they're in. And when they pass away, you have to make notifications to their families, and that's hard for everyone. And it is a lot, but it is rewarding in the sense that you are doing something for people who can't do these things for themselves. So,
well, that's a great testimony to have a deputy serving at Canyon County Sheriff's Office with that kind of a heart for the community. You see a lot during the day, but you're willing to give time outside of that. We had I think Indigent Services brought us a case, I don't remember, but it was someone in desperate need of a guardian that was basically living in unacceptable conditions, but they had no one else. And so it's a basic care for humanity. Thank you. That's nice to know something else about you in your capacity, not just as an officer, but as a person continuing to give back outside of that capacity.
And it is kind of a nice, another avenue to where if something is going on and I recognize it to be a crime, or it needs law enforcement involvement, or it needs adult protective services, we can kind of make those connections to other services.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Thank you.
So I would agree with everything that Bailey said. I would add, my background is in healthcare, and my motivation to become involved in the Board of Guardians is because in healthcare you often see people being abandoned in healthcare. People don't want to, or can't care for their family members anymore, and this leaves a gap. And sometimes it's difficult to determine decision makers for people in healthcare, and that can be a burden to the healthcare system and the community and really decrease the quality of life for the person. So that was my motivation. And I would agree with everything that Bailey said, that without the county staff, I don't think this Board of Guardians would be functioning at all. We have a very, very small group of volunteers on the board, and everybody on the board does take on wards, but everybody, not everybody, but most people have full-time work as well, and so kind of balancing your ability to take care of your personal work, professional needs, and being available for vulnerable people who have many, many comorbid conditions, many issues in their daily life can be quite overwhelming and time-consuming. And so I would say my concern for the board is, I would agree. I think if we cannot get a robust volunteer base, that this will be something that will eventually not be able to happen in Canyon County, because people don't, there aren't enough people to take care of the referrals that are coming to us. And in fact, one thing I often consider when I review a referral is this somebody that the board has the resources to address their needs effectively, because it's not fair to take on a ward as a guardian if you can't address their needs effectively. So, and recently we had a person referred, and I had a real concern, like, that the board does not have the resources to take care of this person effectively, and so that might not be in their best interest for us to agree to do that. So that is my concern. But I do love being a guardian. I have a passion for supporting people to have a good quality of life, and I think it is a necessary part of our state and our county and our community.
Thank you.
What I would have to say.
I think both of them said most of the things. I've been on the board for almost 13 years, and I was on the board when no one from the county even paid much attention to us. We didn't have any help from the county. We only had ourselves, which was Claire, who did the hard work, and we all took as many people as we could. And every month we tried to, you know, go through the person that was offered, needed help, and many, many times, as of even now, it's even more so harder to find people to volunteer, to give their time anymore. And it's, when you think about it, I see my ward at least twice a month, maybe three times, depending on her birthday and holidays. She loves to, she is very handicapped anymore. I can't take her by myself, so I have to get an aide to go with us and arrange that. But I still go and visit her. I'm very good friends with the family. And of course, I've had her for 13 years. I've had other different awards, but I've kind of slowed down a bit. And so Patricia is my main goal, and I try to keep her happy and living life like the best she can. But it's like, I mean, I meet with Ambition at least once a month. I try to get to the county board meeting once a month. I'm on the phone with them all the time because I have someone to go to now, and I didn't before. Mm-hmm. And we all just did, I don't think everything was done that we could do because we were leading ourselves. Now that we have some help, it really makes a difference, but we have such few volunteers. And, you know, when they say, well, how much time do you have to give? Well, you better plan on at least four times a month visiting your wards. Between wards, it depends how many you keep. And some of these gals have taken so many, and it's hard to keep up with them, keep up with their history, keep up with their medicine, keep up with, I mean, I get phone calls all the time from the hospitals or the doctors saying, you know, what's going on, or can you get Patricia to us so-and-so date? So it's some weeks it's 2 and 3 phone calls, and if I work, I don't know how Barry does it, but if I worked, I wouldn't be able to do it. I'm a retired special ed teacher, 33 years, and I guess I always love doing things and helping older people, especially, and children. I think our children and our older people are the ones most needy, and so I'm just doing what I've been doing and with a lot of help. But if we don't have some more people to accept the wards, then I'm ready to retire, but I don't want to leave Patricia. I mean, it's down to that. She's been with me so long. She is, you know, the happiest person I know when I'm around, and, you know, she wants to come and live with me, but she'll do anything that I want her to do. And it's just, I just love her to death, but I couldn't keep up with many more if I had any more wards. I just had to give up all the ones that I've had in the past. And it's mainly because we don't have enough people.
Chairman, I wanted to say too that our staff, it's a big shout out. They were charged with assisting. I don't think they knew at the time that they would get this level of involvement. Kelly George is handling 9 wards at this time. Yvonne has 7. Jennifer has 6, I think. Bailey, you have 6. And so I'm not sure how many you have, but
I have 2.
Yeah, and then
truly all I can handle.
Yeah. No, it's incredible. So we've seen with the Indigent Services side of things how organized and capable the leadership team is at the county. So thank you, Yvonne Baker, Jennifer Odeman, Kelly George. You deserve recognition for your work and what you're doing to help fulfill this. And the feedback where it was not really an area that the county was paying a lot of attention to provide and have that kind of feedback coming back now that the good work that you're doing, the leadership, that's to be commended.
I mean, if you see how many they have to take care of besides their job, it's a lot.
It is a lot.
It is a lot. And, you know, sometimes I wish I could take more, but I know physically and mentally I'm, you know, wouldn't have a life.
I think it speaks to the volunteer nature of the guardianship program in the county. Because if the county employees were not taking on these individuals, there would not be anybody to take them on.
Right.
I mean, you're looking at pretty much the board here.
Yeah.
I think there's one person who's not here. And so, so I think that speaks to just my concerns about not being a guardian. I think it is a very important role. And like I said, I've seen people, for lack of a better word, dumped in our healthcare system with nobody. Bailey's seen people in the community kind of, you know, in awkward and negligent situations. So it's definitely a need. But I think it speaks to, you know, part of the design. If we're relying on volunteers to be guardians, how are we supporting that? How are we incentivizing it? How are we recruiting people to do it? Rather than only relying on altruistic, I want to serve my community, because it is a large role in somebody's life when you're making decisions for them. And being comfortable, having people being comfortable with that is, you know, not everybody who wants to serve their community is going to feel like, yes, I feel like I'm able to make end-of-life care decisions for someone.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's things that the Board of Commissioners could be thinking about in that sense. And then, yes, I mean, if we didn't have the, I don't know what would happen to the, what is it, 20 people here that they take care of if they weren't here.
Yeah.
So
I would say recruitment and retention are one of our biggest obstacles. We also, money is also something that we're always concerned about. This year we've started having to pay court visitors, and also with the public defender's office going to the state, we don't know what's happening with the guardian ad litems and, you know, is this a county function? Is this, will we pay for things coming from the wards? We have to get accountants to do some wards' taxes. And I could see our funds dwindling very quickly if we have to start doing things like that.
Yeah. Chairman, we also need to recognize Janet Caulfield, who works in this. And she's lobbied for a number of years to have more dedicated legal support for the guardian ad litem, so, and we've needed to host her, and she's here now. So I would want to recognize her because her caseload is significant with what she handles, and then to have you talk about what's in it, how you help with the board and the people managing the wards. Just feel free to jump in.
Sure. I was just thinking whenever I listen to a board do a report for commissioners, I know it sounds hokey, but I just, my heart just warms for the boards that I work with and the commitment they have. And I'm sorry, I always get teary when I talk about the boards, because to give this kind of commitment for, I'm in my 9th year now in this role, and I think I have made every meeting with the Canyon County Board of Guardians, and I haven't met all of our protected people, but when we talk about them, I feel like I know them. When one passes away, there's a sadness in my heart. When I read their reports, I'm happy for things that they've, you know, that they have accomplished in their lives. And when I look and see even in the reports, I can see the commitment that our board gives to them. And I personally, just so the commissioners know, I am employed by the state. I cover the 6 counties of the 3rd Judicial District. So my caseload, I'm oversight for just about 2,100 cases. I am a department of my own. I don't have any assistants. I don't have anything but me to keep up with all of these guardians and keeping track of all of those things. But there is that need. When we had, with our adult guardianships, there are 2 different statutes. There are developmental disability and incapacitated adults. The developmental disability person has to have, the requirement is that they have to be diagnosed with a developmental disability before the age of 22. And that our incapacitated adults can be anyone over the age of 18 that has TBIs. We have, you know, situations where there are accidents, if someone's hit, if someone's in a hospital, if someone can't, you know, take care of themselves. Our mental illnesses, our schizophrenia, bipolar, things like that, sometimes they're put under guardianship. And our board sometimes ends up with some of our younger people. A lot of time the boards, I think, are associated only with our older population, thinking that they just take them from, you know, the hospital to the facility to the grave. And that's not necessarily what it is anymore. With more of our younger people having mental illnesses, the boards are taking on some of these younger people and committing to having, you know, being there and working with them. And there is that cost associated with it. And our incapacitated cases, which is the bulk of the cases that we have here, there's a court visitor that has to be hired. And those are anywhere from $700, I've heard up to $1,900 for a report to be done. The guardian ad litem is an attorney who pays, you know, who charges their attorney fees, anywhere from $200 to $500 an hour. And there was a time before we had the state take over the public defender's office where the judges were able to just appoint a public defender to work as that guardian ad litem. And with this new shift, we no longer have that from our public defender's office. And it is a statute that guardian ad litem is appointed to the case, and they are on that case for life. They don't just go away after the appointment is made. That is one of my first go-tos. If I have a call with a concern of someone under guardianship, the first thing I do is call the guardian ad litem, and I ask them to go and do an investigation, come back to me, and then I'm able to go talk to the judge. One unique thing about my role is that through ICAR 54-1, I think it is. I might be wrong on that, but I know it's 54-something. I have a ex parte communication rule with the judges, so I'm able to go to the judge and just talk directly about any issues. So when we're in these meetings, and if I hear that there's a problem that we might have, I can go straight to Judge Tucker or straight to any of the judges we have here and explain the situation, and we can kind of hit that acutely and get it taken care of quicker than what was here before. And we do have the situation now where we do not have that guardian ad litem to be appointed, or they're going to be appointed, and if we get someone who is maybe not as versed in guardianships, because it is one of our more complex laws, then are they really doing service to the person that they're supposed to be doing? We don't want inexperienced attorneys making the judgments on these people. I don't think any of us would want to have an inexperienced attorney making the decision of whether Janet's going to become, you know, the guardian over Commissioner Brooks, right? And make decisions for your life. And so that is one of those things that we're looking at, where they're sitting in the last few meetings, we've been talking about, okay, how are we going to do this? Do we pay someone? What are we going to pay them? How do we find someone to do that? And so that is one of our serious concerns, along with the recruitment and the retention.
And so, Chairman, just a question on slide 9 of the presentation. It says in September of 2024 that the Board of Community Guardians, so that ad litem attorney has not been appointed yet. Is that right?
Yvonne has found someone who works with us, who has been willing to work with us. Is it Sean Miller?
Yes, so commissioners, we, part of our budget this year, the county did allocate $50,000 to pay for guardian ad litem services for the wards. So there is a contract in place with a law firm. And also, Sean Miller is also contracted to provide those services.
Okay.
We have those in place.
Yeah. And that is great news for the whole program, because you have not had that support for as long as I've been here, and it's needed. So, yeah, good news. Good to hear.
Well, I think that we meet with Indigent Services, which is somewhat the same staff, almost on a weekly basis, and I think that we'll be able to be asking them indirectly how this is going from time to time. Constituent Services, trying to get all the nomenclature correct, is here in the room. And I think we need to put this report attached with this audio back again on our social media and keep encouraging the public that there are ways to serve that are very beneficial to the individual that really needs it. And possibly during this year, we'll look for other multiple ways to be looking for potential people that I really believe there's people out in the community that this would be something that they could really serve and feel that they were actually making a difference and could see the difference that they're making by serving these individuals. So let's keep looking that way that we can do that. I do believe this is an interesting time period. When we got on the board, the one member was close to 30 years, if I remember right. Yes. And it's like, oh, my word. Seemingly those individuals don't exist anymore. But maybe they do, and we need to not be deterred in looking for new people that probably haven't been confronted with what this type of service to their community is. So I would look forward to continuing to look for new ways to get this information out. Anything else?
I don't think so.
We really appreciate the report. I really appreciate you taking the time to be here as board members and to put this on the record. And if you think there's other ways that the board can specifically help, we would be interested to entertain that. So don't be strangers. You're welcome back. So, all right.
Thank you.
All right. So I'd make a motion we adjourn for right now.
I will second.
All right. Motion made and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Aye.